for you now. We've enjoyed listening to the worship music, and we identify with that song that says, "Open up the heavens." Lord, we're connected by your Spirit. We are your church, and we're gathered together in your name. And the promise of Paul in Ephesians 2 is that when we're gathered together in your name, we become a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. We become a connection point between heaven and earth. So now, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to connect with you. We want to be aware of your presence with us. So, Lord, we give you our full attention now and ask that your will be done in this gathering together. Amen. So first up, we've got a bit of testimony, and Heather is going to share with us. So Heather, if you'd like to unmute yourself, and we'll hear from yourself first. There you go, Heather, go for it.
Right. I just hope that this would be encouragement to people who perhaps were praying and praying for people. Nearly 2 weeks ago, Alison Fletcher said that Katie had asked us to pray for Katie Dixon because she was ill with the COVID virus. And we began praying for Lizzie Dixon. And then we were asked to pray for our friend who was a nurse who was seriously ill with the COVID-19. So we began to pray for them. Lizzie Dixon became better, but Connie was really, really seriously ill. We were praying for a healing. And then last week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I heard a song and it changed how I prayed. I'll read some of the song out to you. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. We pour out our praise. Because it's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. And this changed how I prayed. And I suddenly realized I needed to pray differently. And I started to pray that God would fill Connie's lungs with his Holy Spirit, with his breath, and heal the lungs, because it's the lungs that create the problem. She was on a ventilator and she was seriously ill. And they were going to Skype her relatives in the Philippines. But I just thought it changed, because the next day they said they were removing some of the sedation. And then the next day, Saturday, or was it Friday? I'm not quite sure. But she sat up in bed and was talking to the nurses. And I think that's a real miracle. Mm. It's not necessarily because of my prayers, but because, I mean, a lot of people were probably praying for her. But what a difference it made. And our praying changed, didn't it, Gerald?
Yeah.
How we prayed. And I just thought people might like to be encouraged by that, that we can use these songs sometimes, that God, we want to put your breath in our lungs. And and I hope it just encourages people, perhaps. Because the last 2 weeks have been quite emotional as we've been praying. We haven't just prayed We've just prayed emotionally and tearfully and brought these people to God. And I just pray this morning that God's breath will fill our lives this morning, that we can go out in the world and share God's love. Thank you.
That's together. Thank you very much. Bless you for sharing that great testimony. It's really powerful, isn't it, when God is speaking to us. And he is guiding our prayers. It's a two-way conversation, isn't it, with our prayer. It's not just us talking to him and not listening. It's him teaching us how to pray and showing us what we should pray. That's really fantastic testimony. Thanks, Gerald. Thanks.
Real miracle.
And we also just acknowledge, yeah, these prayers, they break our hearts, don't they? They move us to tears. They affect us emotionally as we are interceding for others. So that's a great testimony of the power of intercession. So thank you. We're next going to be having a contribution from Jan. I asked Jan to just consider, gave her an idea of the theme for the meeting this morning. And Jan is going to now be sharing a bit of scripture for us from the Bible. We'll just wait for Matt to find you, Jan, and she'll spotlight you. There you go. Bless you, Jan. So, Lord, we hear your word. Far away, Jan.
I've been closer to the soil than ever before in the last few weeks in my life. Planting and watering seeds, willing them on to grow, wanting them to grow straight and strong, and protecting them. I can give them water, but I can't make them do it. I'm going to read from Psalm 1, and the youngsters amongst you, you might want to listen for the word tree, because I'm sure you're growing things at home. They might not be trees, but I'm having a race with my grandchildren to grow a sunflower, among other things. But listen to this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. But the Lord, for the Lord, watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. I just think, maybe just to explain, that when people were sorting out the wheat, they used to throw it up in the air in order to get rid of all the bits and pieces that have gone dead and aren't part of the wheat. And it's so easy to turn away and get blown around. And yet, if we're like that tree planted by the streams, then the watering happens, but we still have to choose to grow. Thanks, Rich.
That's perfect, Jan. Thanks so much for sharing that, as well as your thinking and your reasoning behind that. And indeed, certainly our children are doing much with plants, and they're out with our trees at the moment. And that's a great picture. And it's interesting with those trees, how you can tell by kind of where a tree is feeding from and where plants are feeding from, by how they kind of bend themselves perhaps towards the sun, or where they're putting their roots down. We're blessed to have a stream near us, and we've been looking at tree roots going right down into the stream, and you see these big chunky roots going down into the water. In a moment, we're going to be looking at a couple of film clips and hearing a prophetic word from Mary around sculpting. And so before we do that, I thought it would be good to get a little bit physical. These Zoom calls, don't like to be sitting in our chairs all the time, and sometimes we just need to move around. So I thought, kids, listen up, and anybody else who would like to join in, we're just going to have a go. See you. That's terrific. Fire away, Mary.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. And thanks for everybody that's contributed already. I already enjoy myself. So my piece is about joining the early morning prayer group via Zoom last Thursday. Normally when I join in early morning prayer, I've got verses or songs to share, and I'm often full of it, but not this Thursday. My mind was very quiet. I had nothing going on, no prayers, no nothing. I was like a blank canvas. The other people were praying, and it was all going great, but I had absolutely nothing going on in my mind. And then I saw a picture of a sculptor, and he was working on a very large marble block, creating a sculpture by removing all the unnecessary marble. And he was carving carefully, gradually, and continuously. It was a stripping away process, revealing what was already there until it was perfected and finished. And what came across my mind was, normally we think about new things being built up from the foundations, adding to things, producing something new that way. But this was the reverse process. It was a taking away process, a refining process, a revealing process. I've had time to reflect on this over the last couple of days, and this could be applied to us as individuals, so that we are gradually become more like Jesus and how he intended us to be, so that he will chip away at us, often painfully, and he will take away things like negativity, bad attitudes, sinful things, bad habits. He chips away until, in fact, we're more ourselves than we've ever been, but also more like him. I've also had time to think that this might also apply to the church. And the reason I'm thinking that is that when I get prophetic pictures in a corporate setting, and I was in corporate prayer with the others, I wondered if this might apply also to the church, and that there may be things that need to be chipped away to reveal the church, how Jesus actually wants the church. Or it could be also for our city of Exeter. And things are happening at the minute which are chipping away at the things that are not necessary and revealing actually some beautiful things within the city or our nation or our world. So I just want to pray about that, a quick prayer. Lord, when you give us pictures, it sometimes helps to focus us on what we should be thinking about and praying about. Lord, I ask that you will help us to allow you to chip away at us and remove all the unnecessary things in our lives. And they're often negative things that we really don't want. And we ask that you will help to chip away at the things so that we can become more like you. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Mary. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bless you. So that seemed like a really helpful picture, which is kind of fitting in with where we're going this morning and what Laura is going to be sharing on in a moment. I'd now like to just share a further clip, which is going to further us into this theme of God working in our lives to help us to grow more like him. But critically, it's about his work in our lives. It's not about us trying to work things for ourselves. So I'm going to show you a short clip from a couple of guys called the Skit Guys, and they're showing us a potential conversation between one man and God, and God's invitation to answer that man's prayer to work.
That you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb.
Okay, hi everybody. Hopefully you can hear me. I've swapped with my husband. So thank you for that, Rich. That clip was really helpful. So children, I'm wondering whether any of you have had a chance to sculpting, doing whatever you're doing while I'm talking, that's fine. So I am today talking in the first of our series about the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes are some verses at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 5 is where we find the Beatitudes. And they are a series of statements as part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his kind of teaching that he gave to his disciples. And they tell us about the kind of character of a disciple, the kind of character of somebody who is following Jesus. And they tell us about the kind of kingdom that Jesus is building. And it's not the kind of kingdom that people were expecting. It's not the kind of characteristics that people would have thought that a king would think were important and good. And actually, a lot of it, when you read it, is kind of the opposite of what you think. So we'll be looking in future weeks at at some of them. I'm going to just be looking at one of them today, but some of them say things like, you're blessed when you mourn, when somebody's died and you're feeling really sad. That's when you're happy and that's when you're blessed. And these are kind of upside down. So we talk about the kingdom of God being like an upside down kingdom. And Cheryl and Chris and Matt and I, Matt Finn, and I had a little chat about this that we recorded during the week. So we looked a bit more at how you can understand this part of the Bible better. So if you'd like to listen to that, then hopefully you've seen the links either on the church email or on our social media. And that'll give you a bit more background, a bit more context about how we can think about the Beatitudes as we start this series. So I'll be looking at the first of the Beatitudes today, which is Matthew 5, verse 3. There we go. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So all of these statements start with this word blessed or blessed. So what do we think it means to be blessed? Maybe you could type into the chat or have a chat to the person next to you about what you think it means to be blessed. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about somebody who's blessed? So Patrick says, knowing God is close to us. Yeah. Great answer. Somebody who's pleasing to God, someone who's given something special. Joy is a characteristic of somebody who's blessed. Yeah, absolutely. Those are all very good answers. There's no right answer. That's fine. Peaceful, says Harriet. So let's look at what some other people make of what it means to be blessed. If you search hashtag blessed, which I'm seeing quite a lot at the moment on Instagram, this is what you will see. So you will see lots of lovely homes, people showing you how beautiful their gardens are at the moment and saying, I'm so blessed to have a lovely garden. There's somebody with a nice new car there, obviously. Nice holiday pictures, shiny, happy families, and weirdly and randomly, Brian Blessed. I thought I'd include that for the slightly older amongst us, maybe. But does being blessed mean having lots of nice things? Is it about being happy? Is it about always doing well in life and being successful? Let's have a look at what Jesus says. Jesus turns the idea of who is really blessed upside down. He says, it's not people who are rich or powerful. It's not the people who look blessed. In fact, the people who are really rich in God's eyes are the poor in spirit. So, who is Jesus talking about? Well, the idea of being poor in spirit is found lots of places in the Bible. And Isaiah talks about being poor in spirit quite a lot. And what he means is not people who don't have anything, so they're not just poor. And it doesn't mean that they're really sad or that there's kind of something wrong with them when we say that they're poor in spirit. What it means is that they're the kind of people who are humble and they realise that they aren't rich in themselves, that they have a need for God in their lives. So they're the kind of people who depend on God. They're the kind of people who realise that they're not as God meant them to be, that they need grace, that they need to receive God's kingdom as a gift, not as something that they can earn, not as something that they get as a reward for being good, but they're dependent on God to do the changing and to do the work. So we've been thinking about these sculptures, about these lovely sculptures, this picture inside us of the person that God wants us to be. And the poor in spirit realize that they can't do that sculpting themselves. They need God to do it for them. Now, some people might battle with the idea that they're not good enough and they have low kind of self-esteem. Now, God doesn't want that. God esteems us and esteems you so much that he gave himself for you. He gave himself on your behalf. And we're all made good enough by Jesus. But the poor in spirit are the people who realize the difference between making myself good enough or thinking I'm good enough and realizing that it's God who makes me good enough. It's God who does the sculpting. It's God who makes me the person that I need to be. I can't do that for myself. That's the person who is poor in spirit. They realize that they miss the mark, just like we all do. We all fall short of what God has made us to be, and we all need his forgiveness and his grace, and that's what it means to be poor in spirit. So we're going to think a little bit more about that in a minute, but first we're going to hand over to Ian and Anne Miller, and they are going to lead us in breaking bread. And as we do this, we're going to remember that even as we fall short and even as we realize that we're not yet that masterpiece, we are a piece of work, we are a work in progress, and that progress might feel very gradual, but we're dependent on God to be doing it. We're going to kind of demonstrate our dependence on God now.
Laura, I'll pass that back to you when you're ready.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, it's so great to be able to do that. I'm just so thankful to Jesus for his genius in giving us that meal that we can celebrate together so simply, and it's so full of meaning, and it's so great just to offer ourselves to him as we do that, and to receive something from him as well in that moment. It's just great, so thank you. So we're going to go back to thinking a bit more about what it means to be poor in spirit and what it means for God to bless the people who are poor in spirit. So let's come to this. Here we go. So we looked before at these are the kind of characteristics of me if I am a person who is poor in spirit. And I've got a little picture for you now. So hopefully you'll be able to see this now. Have a little think. Maybe even the children might be able to answer this question. This shows two people who are praying. One of them looks like somebody who we might call poor in spirit, and the other person doesn't so much. So I wonder if you can guess which way round they are. And it's actually showing a scene of a story that Jesus told. So Jesus told a story in Luke's gospel about two men who went to pray in the temple. And this is what they said in my words. So one of them says, "Thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm much better than them." That's what he's saying. And the other one says, "Please be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not how I want to be, and I need you to have mercy on me and to change me." So I think that going back, that the guy on the right, he looks all nice and dressed up, and he's looking up in a very kind of, "Oh, thank you, God," way. And the guy behind him, on the left, the guy in the kind of red robe, he's looking down and he's praying and he's seeking God. And he, to me, looks like somebody who's poor in spirit. He's saying, please be merciful to me, God. I'm a sinner. I am not how you want me to be. One of them thinks that he's all sorted, and the other one thinks he needs God to sort him out. And Jesus says that his kingdom belongs to that second kind of person, the person who realizes that he needs God to sort him out. And the Old Testament tells us that these are the kind of people who God wants to spend time with. These are the people that God would be hanging out with. And in fact, like I said earlier, Isaiah talks about these kind of people, the people who are poor in spirit. And it says that God lives with them, God dwells with them. And that is why they're happy. That's why they're blessed. They are the ones who are really lucky in life, not the ones who've got lovely gardens, although that's very nice, and the ones who go on nice holidays, although that would be very pleasant. And if anyone wants to buy me a holiday after all this is done, then I will receive one gratefully. But that is not what makes us really blessed. What makes us really blessed is when God lives with us, and he lives with the kind of people who recognize that they need him. So these are the attitudes that we can have and that maybe we want to spend a bit of time thinking about this week. Am I the kind of person who says, yeah, I'm sorted, I'm good, thanks? Am I the kind of person who says, I really, really need God to sort me out? Or maybe I'm the third kind of person who says, thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory, and I say, please continue sorting me out, because you're chipping away at me and that sculpture is just starting to be coming out of me. You're doing the work and I'm thankful, but I need more and it can only come from you. So these verses are great because they're quite short. And they all start and work in a similar kind of way, blessed are, and then the consequence, if you like. They're really good for memorizing. So another thing that we could do this week is maybe take the verses of the Beatitudes, and as we go along the weeks, we'll learn them together. So I think what would be good is if we can just spend a bit of time through the week, maybe just once in a day, or print them out or something like that, and just have that verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And maybe we can just let that work its way into our minds and into our hearts through the week. I'm going to pray for us as we finish this little section, and then we're going to have a song from Julian that will help us to respond. I'm also hoping to send some stuff out during the week to help reflect on this a bit more, maybe some questions, maybe some other kinds of materials to help us. So keep an eye out for that when I get a gap in homeschooling my delightful children to produce it. I will let you know. So let's pray together to finish this time. Thank you, Jesus, that you bless those who are poor in spirit. Thank you that you come to live in us, that as we recognize our failings and our shortcomings, and as we accept your offer of forgiveness and grace, we receive from you as a gift. Lord, keep us from thinking that we can earn your love or earn a place in your kingdom by being good Christians or nice people. We put our faith and our hope in you, Jesus, the only one who can save. Amen.